Welcome to Corittles. This week, Stupid Interview Advice, Chapter 2. The questions this cast answers are, why shouldn't I ask about the downsides of a job? Why shouldn't I record a video for a recruiter? And why shouldn't I mention specific weaknesses?
Hey folks, give you a quick update on our M conference. Unfortunately, the world and COVID and governmental responses to COVID in the U.S. have put the kibosh on our M conference date and location in Chicago this year in March. We have moved the M conference back to October 27th and 28th in Chicago, same hotel. We like the hotel a great deal. And we think that October is long enough that the world will be getting back to normal. We look forward to having 10 great speakers. And for those of you who sign up now, when you sign up, you get invited to our pre-conference speaker series. We do those once a month. We just had one yesterday by a longtime community member, Matt Beckwith. And I encourage you to come to the website, look for the M Conference, and learn more about it. And if you want to talk to somebody here or somebody who's attended, we'll be happy to put in touch with that. We already have, I think, over half of the people from last year, or 2 years ago now, have already signed up again, which is going to create problems for us in terms of space. But come see us at the M Conference, October, Chicago. Great time.
This is a fun episode for us because we get to talk about the things that we disagree with. And it came out of three articles that we saw on the internet about interview advice or giving interview advice, all of which are terrible. And so we wanted to produce this episode so that we could address those things and try and explain not only this is wrong, but why it's wrong, so that you can more effectively and analyze the advice that you see in future and think about it from a hiring manager's point of view and whether or not it makes any sense. And we did three pieces of stupid interview advice right back in the beginning of 2020. And so now it's a year later, we've got three more.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. All right. So the three pieces of stupid interview advice that we're going to dissect today. First, asking about the downsides of the job. Then recording a video for a recruiter. And then mentioning specific weaknesses.
So we'll start with asking about the downsides of a job. So this came from an article on CNN called The Best Questions to Ask in an Interview. Uh-huh. And it quotes Dori Clark, the author of Entrepreneurial You. And she says, to help get more personal insight into what it's like working at a company, Clark suggested asking, what would you say is the downside of this position or working at this company? Every job has a downside, and you need to know whether or not you can live with them, she said. Which is true. Every job does have a downside, and you need to know whether you can live with them. But you don't want to ask the hiring manager in an interview for that information.
For many reasons. First of all, guys, advice like this comes from the false interpretation that an interview is a two-way street. Now, that's the thing about a lot of the guidance that is on the internet about interviewing, which tells interviewees that they're interviewing the company as much as the company is interviewing them. It's a two-way street. We're here to learn about each other, which is just plain wrong, right? The purpose of an interview for the applicant themselves is not to interview the company. The purpose of the applicant in the interview is to get an offer from the company. So getting insight into the company and deciding whether or not to take an offer, that's only valuable to you after you've already received the offer. So doing anything in the interview that is not helping you sell yourself to the company and can in fact make you reflect on you poorly to the company is truly pointless.
You have to think of the interviewing process as a process. So the job of the resume is to get you an interview. The job of the interview is to get you an offer. And then your job, once you have the offer, is to analyze the offer. And probably you need to know about the upsides and the downsides once you have the offer. But until you have the offer, that analysis piece doesn't come into play. If you're trying to do analysis before you have an offer, you're just wasting energy, because imagine the downside of a job is you have to be available to your boss 24/7, right? Mm-hmm. Most people would say, yeah, I don't want to do that, right? But if somebody offered me $1 million, I would reconsider.
maybe I could do that for a year. I might be able to
maybe
for a million.
$500,000, right? You know? Or maybe I have to be available to my boss 24/7, but I get to live in a mansion.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at the end of his garden, because he's got a mansion and the mansion has a baby mansion to live in. you know, it's a whole different ball game once I know that the offer includes that $1 million or the mansion or whatever it is, right? And in most of our lives, the downsides are not that, right? The downsides are maybe some extra admin or the kind of customers you have to deal with, or maybe the commute or the office in which you have to work. You know, the downsides are usually a lot smaller.
Absolutely.
And so are the upsides.
Yeah.
To be fair, most of us aren't offered $1 million to do at the job that we're currently doing. But all of whether or not that downside is relevant or whether or not that downside is an issue for you doesn't come until you know everything.
You have
to know the complete package. And a lot of the times, if you ask a hiring manager, what's the downside of this job? They might say, oh, well, there's a stack of admin you have to do. Well, personally, I don't mind doing admin. I quite like the idea of, you know, here's a stack of admin, just work your way through it. Nobody's going to bother you. And you know, you feel completed when you're a sense of completion, a sense of accomplishment when you're done. I feel okay about that.
So
even if the hiring manager exactly says, you know, there's loads of admin and I don't like it, that might not be the downside for you.
Right. That might be the upside for you. You
exactly.
don't know.
Exactly. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because I like it. I went for an interview for a company that sold swings and play sets for children. And they wanted someone to help them with the German market. And I speak German. So it was a cool job, like in the sales department, but not actually making sales, talking to Germans. I was like, this is really cool. And then they told me I would have to take suppliers to lunch. And I said, no, I'm not. The idea
it's
of
a deal breaker.
Yeah, people to lunch. It just freaked me out. I was 23, 24. I was worried about what I would say and awkward and uncomfortable and all of those things. And I said, and they said, would you come back for a second interview? And I said, no, because I didn't want to have to do that. At which point they said, that's okay. We can take that part out of the job. Come back for a second interview.
That's awesome.
So I did. And I didn't get the job for a bunch of reasons. Somebody else had more languages than I did. So, but that downside wouldn't be a downside for other people.
Be an upside to others.
For me. Right, exactly. Right? There's
people love
who love taking people to lunch. I get an expense account and I get to go to lunch as much as I like. Yes, please.
Yes, please. Absolutely.
You know? So even if you ask the hiring manager, that was my point. Even if you ask the hiring manager, their downside might not be your downside. And the downside has to be weighed up against the upsides. If they'd paid me $1 million to do that job,
right,
I might have done it.
I might take you for lunch for $1 million. I could do it.
Actually, I might not. but you know, it would be a different equation if I knew that was in the agent. So even if you do ask this question, it's unlikely you're going to get a truthful answer.
Yeah, you're not going to get a truthful answer. Guys, at this point, there's no incentive for the company or the people in it to air their dirty laundry with someone who they've not yet decided to hire, right? They don't know anything about you. They're not going to tell you the truth. And if they've decided that they do want to hire you, they're certainly not going to tell you the negatives and convince you otherwise before you accept the position. I mean, they want you to work there. If they're going to bring you in, they're not going to tell you about the blemishes at this point. The interview process, it's a sales process, right? And while we are all, to be clear, we're all bound by ethics, right? We're not talking about they're lying to you. We're not talking about things like that. But just because we're bound by ethics to tell the truth to individuals that are interviewing with us doesn't bind us to tell you all of the dirty little secrets about the terrible things about doing this job.
Right. You know, and they might say, you know, there's some people that our team works with who are more difficult than others, right? But they don't tell you about Jim, who's a complete nightmare. Because they're gonna
right.
Dull it down. It's if you think of it backwards, it's like the interviewer asking you, what are your weaknesses?
Uh-huh.
Like, nobody says, I'm never on time, I can't control my email inbox, and I have a memory like a sieve. Like, nobody says that. Everybody says things like, well, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I hate this question because it's useless to a hiring manager. It doesn't tell you anything because people never tell you the truth. Or at least they don't tell you that what's an all truth. They don't tell you the thing that you want to know, which is they're never on time. They can't
right,
control
exactly.
their email. And they're a bit of a mess in the head.
I work too hard.
Right.
Exactly.
It's just a waste of your time to ask this question. You're not going to get what you want out of it. And even if you did, you don't have all the other information that you need to make a decision. So why waste time with it? Just move on. Ask questions that increase your credibility in the eyes of the hiring manager, not decrease it.
Exactly. Absolutely. 6 minutes is 10% of an hour. And you don't want to waste 10% of your hour-long interview asking a question that is not useful and potentially casts you in a bad light.
Exactly.
Next up then is record a video for the recruiter. Now, we recommend that you don't do this unless you're asked to. The guidance came from Forbes, and it said that candidates using the same old outreach tactics wouldn't be successful in 2020. Rather, that successful candidates have proactively thought beyond the usual CV, getting around social distancing factors by producing short videos, which allow recruiters and their clients to get a richer snapshot of them as an individual.
There's so many reasons I hate this. Okay, first of all, when I was a recruiter, I would not have watched a video instead of reading a resume. I can read a resume in less than a minute. I can watch it. You know, it would take me a minute to get the video downloaded, uploaded into something.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I can use to watch it, logged into YouTube, whatever, wherever it was.
Get your audio. Where's it playing from? I can't tell where it's playing from.
That's right. We had that conversation before we started recording. I plugged in my recording microphone, and my computer didn't know that that's the one I wanted to use. So yeah. It's just not time cost effective. When a recruiter is busy to watch a video over reading a resume and the video tells you potentially a bunch of things you don't want to know
right.
or don't need to know and could easily miss out the things that you do want to know. And whilst 99% of resumes are terrible, they do at least have a list of job titles on them, right? Which gives you something. Whereas a video just doesn't do that. In my head, well, these videos are just like, I don't know if you've seen this on Legally Blonde, when she does a video to apply to go to Harvard.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I saw
like,
that.
Some of it's in the swimming pool. That's how these videos go in my head. And I'm sure they don't.
I'm sure anybody who
records one, like, sits at their desk and, you know, but they don't read the resume.
Right? They don't read the resume.
And at that point,
that's what you want to know.
As a recruiter, that's what I want to know.
Exactly. 100%. Guys, now, especially, and they are right now, especially when markets are tight, there are more candidates out there than there are jobs. It's hard enough for the recruiters to receive all of the resumes they're receiving and read all the resumes they're receiving. Never mind to put in the extra effort to read your resume and then watch your little snippet video. They don't have time for that. They haven't time for that. No. Now, in addition to that, when recruiters and anybody else, let's be honest, sits down and actually watches that video, they're going to compare it to what they currently know, right? It's impossible not to sit down in front of a video and not to compare it to every other video you've ever seen. And what we have as an example, more often than not in terms of video, is television and film. And every video that you ever try and make at home sitting in front of your computer is going to be substantially poorer in quality and level of professionalism than we see on every other platform. I mean, there are influencers now. I mean, people have at home all the lighting to shoot an actual film. Even the people who are doing YouTube videos and mm-hmm. Facebook and Instagram. They have got lighting and equipment and microphones.
I was watching a YouTube video and the person only had like 20,000 followers, which is nothing on YouTube. And she said something about, oh, I need to record some B-roll. And I was like,
what?
B-roll? I sort of know what it is, but I was thinking, gosh, that sounds terribly, I don't know, professional. Complicated, you know, to have considered
are
that.
Are you Scorsese? What are we talking about here?
Exactly. You know, so even the stuff that's relatively low standard or low has a low watch time is a way higher standard than I would get sitting
you would be
at
able
my
to
desk.
Achieve at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, recording my face in my office.
Exactly. Which means that this video that you're producing with the intent of increasing your opportunity for an interview, potentially, otherwise, why else would we do it? Mm-hmm. You're going to have your recruiter sit down and watch it. And the entire time, they're going to be thinking about the poor quality and then assuming or attributing that same standard to everything else you do. Oh,
yes,
this is
exactly.
a terribly low quality. Oh, I mean,
this is what you're willing to send me.
Right.
What's the rest of it? This is supposed to be your best work. What's the rest of it like?
Exactly.
Like, I don't understand why the people who write this think, well, I do understand why they write it, but I don't understand how they can write it and not think that a resume with actual, like, accomplishments would be better than a video.
Right.
And I know why Forbes writes it, because it's way more interesting to write about recruiters
100%.
And making videos
boring
than
old
it is
resume
to say,
talk.
Follow the same resume rules that we've been talking about for the last 50 years. Like that's not exactly news, is
it? It's not exactly news. It's not fun, not flashy.
So I understand why they write it, but it's just not helpful to candidates because it sends them down the... I mean, you could spend days doing this and it's absolutely useless in
absolutely.
Terms of how many people are going to watch. The only person who's going to watch it is your mom.
Yeah, exactly. And the friend that you make watch it to critique it for you.
That's
who will watch it.
Who won't tell you the truth because they're your friends. No,
exactly, because they're your friend and they love you. So
just useless. And they, you know, if you want to be a news anchor, if you want to be on TV, if you want to be an influencer, if you, you know, all of those things, if the job actually requires having video of yourself, then you already know that and you already have a showreel. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you don't
right.
need one.
Otherwise, you don't need one.
Spend the time working with your network. So
yes.
spend the time talking to people you know, finding out what they do, impressing them with your work ethic and your control over your email and your ability to be on time and all of those things so that you can connect with hiring managers on that level. So,
right.
so when a hiring manager says to someone they know, I really need a software engineer who knows Java, then... You know, that person says, oh, I know someone who he's a good guy. I mean, I've never worked with him, but he's a good guy and he's always on time and he, you know, writes good emails. So, and I know he's been doing Java at this place. So let's interview him. And then you come into the interview already with a bunch of pluses in the hiring manager's mind, which they will then seek to confirm because that's mm-hmm. what we do. Far better to have spent the time you would have spent even thinking about creating
yeah.
a video, having that conversation with somebody in your network.
Exactly.
Than just wasting your time on this.
100%. Your time could be spent better elsewhere.
Folks, another frustrating timing update for you regarding one of our public conferences, our conference in Australia this year, which generally draws from more broadly than just Australia. I think they'll let Kiwis in even, because Kiwis are so nice. We've moved that from May of this year, and we already have some registrations, so we'll transfer those registrations for you if you're scheduled for May. Although, if you can't make a date in November, the week of Thanksgiving in the U.S., please let us know, and we'll get you moved around to another one. If you are in Australasia, as the saying goes, feel free to come to the website, learn more about it. If you have any questions, feel free to ask mahorstman@manager-tools.com. Hope to see you there.
All right, then. And the third myth, I suppose, we wanted to dissuade you from is mentioning specific weaknesses. Now, guys, we're recommending that you're not completely honest, which is not to say, we recommend you lie or be unethical. It's to say, be smart about the things that you talk about in your interview.
Yeah, there's a big difference. We're not saying make stuff up.
No. Right?
That would be lying.
Yeah, don't hide things that they ask you for specifically.
Yeah, right. Be careful about what you say. And if you're asked a straightforward question like, were you fired? And the answer is yes, then you have to say yes.
Say yes.
You have to answer a straightforward question truthfully and directly.
Yes.
9 times out of 10, you won't be asked that question, so it doesn't matter. But for example, let's say that you got a 4.0 GPA at college, which is, as far as I understand it, the best you can get.
Right, I think so.
You don't get extra credit in an interview for saying, I got a 4.0 GPA and I had depression during my college career, right? Or, and I had to work because I didn't get I didn't get a loan or I didn't get money from my parents, right? Whilst we agree that achieving 4.0 in those circumstances is harder.
Yes.
And therefore more impressive in the sense of if I know that about you, then I know that it's harder and I know you had a bigger hill to climb than other people. So we want you to be value that and be proud of it and know that yes, you maybe had harder time than everybody else. You don't want to tell the hiring manager that, right? You don't want to try and get extra points by mentioning that to the hiring manager because, one, there are no extra points. You either got a 4.0 or you didn't, right?
Yes.
It's either this achievement or it's not.
Or it's not.
And, and secondly, you're mentioning a bunch of negatives to the hiring manager. So, you know, let's say you had a situational depression caused by the death of a parent. God, this is going really negative. but it's entirely understandable that a death of a parent would cause a depression. And it's unlikely that that's going to happen again to you, right?
Yes.
Because it was situational. It was based on this one situation. And, you know, it's probably never going to happen to you again. Mm-hmm. So why tell the hiring manager? Why even mention it? Why put it in their head that you might have a depression which makes you a more difficult employee? If you think about it, if there's two of you with everything else is equal and one of them's had a bout of depression and the other hasn't, the hiring manager is going to choose the one who hasn't, right? And they're going to choose, you know, the one that looks most healthy and has the most energy and all of those things, right? We naturally want to choose the fittest.
Mm-hmm. It's evolution.
Commas. Yeah, exactly. So don't bring something up that's a negative. And that's, you know, it's unlikely that hiring manager is going to say, so, have you ever had depression, right? They're never going to ask that.
They're never going to ask that.
Because, that's a stupid question. Lawyers tell them not to.
Lawyers tell them not to. Lawyers, i.e. human resources, says do not ask that question.
Yeah. And if they do, then you know something about them. And if they do, you have to answer directly and honestly and truthfully. But don't bring up negatives that you don't have to.
Exactly. Guys, another example of this would be to say that you don't like administration work when asked. When the job is 30% administration. Now, you're going to have known this previously, obviously, from job specification, from the advertisement. All of that information will be known to you if it's truly 30% admin. You're going to be aware of that. So you'd name a different weakness or dislike. Because if you really didn't like administration work, the answer isn't to tell the interview that you dislike nearly 50% of what this job entails. In the interview, it is to either do your homework and not apply to the job to begin with if you truly dislike it. Don't apply for the job to begin with. Or once you've interviewed, don't accept the job if it is offered to you.
It's so easy. It's like you saying, your primary job is presenting, right? That's the one thing
presenting.
You're supposed to do. And to say to Mark, you know, in the interview, no, yeah, I don't like presenting.
I don't like public speaking. It makes me uncomfortable.
It's like 80% of your job.
Okay, why have you applied?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like if any sensible manager talks, hiring manager would say, well, that's okay, then I think we're done here.
Right?
And you'd be marched
out. You did not demonstrate the ability to do 80% of what this job entails.
Like, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
It's just crazy. You know, if you're not asked about a significant disappointment, don't tell them about the college courses you failed.
Yeah, exactly.
I interviewed someone once and we said, I think it was, tell us about a significant disappointment or tell us about a project that didn't go wrong, or situation that didn't go well, something like that. And the guy said he was jilted at the altar, which I agree is terrible, but it wasn't the right thing to bring up in an interview.
In the interview.
You know, like it's kind of like the depression thing. I admire the fact that he could talk about it.
That's
gutsy. He talked about how he got over it, that you know, he apparently, you know, went on to have the next couple of years were happy and now he had a new wife and all this stuff. Like, personally, I'm impressed by it. I feel bad that he had to go through that situation.
Yeah, that's
and
awful.
I'm impressed that he got through it. But that's not relevant to the job. Like, it's not. He wanted to be an accountant.
Yeah. It's not what they were asking.
Exactly. You know, if you're not asked about a significant disappointment, then you just don't bring it up. You know, and if you are asked and you had failed some college courses and you made a plan and you did the work and you went to office hours and you found a tutor or you worked with a group or whatever the plan was that you executed and then you passed those courses, it's a great answer for the question, tell me about some time when something went wrong and you improved it, right? Yeah. Or you recovered from it. It's not a great answer to tell me about a project, you know? If you're asked, just tell me about a project that you ran, find one that has a positive in it.
Yeah, a really good example.
That went really well for you. You just don't get extra points for saying, I did this and I did it with a handicap.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, all of this means that unlike most of the advice on the internet, there's no shortcut, right? That is, you have to understand your skills. You have to understand your abilities, your strengths, your weaknesses, what you enjoy doing, what you don't like doing, and the job itself, like what you've applied for or going to apply for, the company, the customers, what's important, what's not. If you're going to be successful in the interview, the answer is working hard to achieve it. Right? The answer is preparing, knowing the company, knowing yourself, right? And being smart about what you say and how you say it, not being devious, being smart.
And assessing whether or not this is good advice when you read it on the internet, it doesn't take the experience that we have. It doesn't take my experience or Sarah's or Mark's or anyone. It takes a little bit of thought about the person who's interviewing you, what they're looking for, why they want it, and how they're likely to assess what you say and do.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Why is this person asking me this question? Or why would they be asking me this question?
Right.
What are they wanting to know? And how are they going to use that piece of information to make a decision about me as a candidate?
Yeah.
If you understand what's important to the other person in an interview, a lot of this guidance or this advice instantly becomes, oh, yeah, why would I do that, right?
Yeah.
What's important to a recruiter is saving time
because
they're in sales and getting the information they want. Therefore, a video is useless. You know, it's a logical progression. So if you start with what does the other person want, then you start really well. And that's a great skill to have in general, in any situation, in any meeting you go into, in any interaction you have with another human being.
Absolutely.
To be able to assess what they want and why they might want it and how they're going to use it is very helpful to you to build relationships anyway. So it's worth practicing.
Absolutely.
And you might as well start learning now. Before you get the job.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was fun because we got to criticize
advice,
which
it's pretty negative,
fun.
But it was fun.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with something new. Bye, everyone.